So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
First, I got to give you a little bit about my backstory, and super hard to condense, but here we go. Okay. So in 1990, I graduated from University of Michigan with a degree in Chinese. No, I do not still speak it. Everyone always asks me that. On graduation day, my college boyfriend of 3 years asked me a question. Yvette, will you marry me? And I said, John, I can't do it, man. I can't stay here in the Midwest. I'm going to suffocate if I stay here. So I had plans to move to Seattle to pursue graduate school. So I met a musician. And he helped me with some gas money. We packed up my little blue Honda Accord, didn't have any brakes on it, a hole in the gas tank. I have $500 in my pocket. We drove across the country, and I landed in Seattle. And I started working. I never went to graduate school. I started working in a super exciting industry of insurance. And I stayed in that industry for 5 years. And on the fifth year, the management team came to me and said, Yvette, we want to give you a promotion, a raise, and a team. And as they were speaking, I could just see like the rows of cubicles, like those oatmeal-colored gray cubicles going on forever. And I was like, I can't do it, man. I'll suffocate if I stay here, too. So I quit. And I just knew there was something better for me out there. I wasn't meant to be in the insurance industry. I wasn't meant to do it. So I fled insurance like the plague. And luckily, at that time, the world was just discovering the internet. And I landed an interview with a brilliant individual who was founding a .com at the time. And I had no idea who he was when he interviewed me. And he asked me, Yvette, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I looked at him and I said, you know, not here. I'm going to be traveling. And he just thought that was hilarious. And he walked out, went to the HR, and said, she's the one I want. She's a risk taker. And I'd never thought of myself that way before. So indeed, over the next 4 years, we built two high-intensity startups together, taking us from Seattle to San Francisco. And we went from a .com that went public to a VC firm. And then, you know, I realized working those 4 years that the insurance industry did give me some business skills. I have to give them that. But what I discovered more so was that I was a risk taker, and I got addicted to the idea of entrepreneurship and the idea of taking an idea from nothing to fruition, that whole entire creative process. And it was awesome. And so what I did next was I quit. And I quit because I was burned out of working 70-hour weeks for 4 years, and my mother was passing away. And so we decided to move to Mexico, and I say we because in that Seattle time, I did get married. Forgot to tell you that. I got married. So my husband and I moved to Mexico to recover. I was exhausted and I was very burned out. And I remember sitting on the beach in Mazatlan, looking at the ocean and thinking, whatever I do next has got to be full of creativity. And so we looked at each other and we was like, well, where are we going to go to now? And so he looked at me and he said, well, you know what, honey? Luckily, I know people in San Antonio, Texas. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how lucky that is. So I was like, well, let's pack up the car. So we packed up the car and drove across Mexico, across the Texas border, and I landed in San Antonio. And I did not like it when I first came here, but over the time I discovered that the beauty in this city is just being patient with it. Take patience in discovering it's so many, many layers, and you'll find the layer that you can appreciate. And I can't imagine living anywhere else now. So now I'm in San Antonio, and I get divorced. I'm unemployed, and I'm looking for art. And I land a job with the Contemporary Art Foundation here in the city, run by a woman by the name of Linda. And she's a visionary, a creator, an artist herself, and she has a contemporary art collection. And I become immersed in the contemporary art world, and I love it, baptism by fire. And one day she asked me to take a picture of hers that she had just, a piece. She said, Yvette, can you take this piece of mine to go be framed? And I said, okay, sure. And now Linda used two frame shops in the city. I had never been to any of them. I decided to just pick this one because it was nearest to me. So when I pulled up into the driveway and walked into the lobby of this shop, I had no idea that this was going to be the lobby of my new home. And I had no idea that this weird little man that was waiting on me in the frame shop with glasses and a beard was going to be my next husband. And so now I'm in a warehouse and I'm married to Andy, the weird little man from the frame shop, who is my best friend and my husband, and we have a son. This warehouse is called, most people know it as the 1906, and it's a bright blue warehouse. It can't be like a normal standard industrial gray warehouse. No, it's bright blue, and it's covered with murals from people, painted by murals from people all over the world. It has a big motorcycle sculpture in the parking lot. It is its own living, breathing organism, and it's where we live, it's where we teach, it's where we raise our son, it's where our artists live, and where we open up our home to 800 people every month to come and experience. So now that I'm in this space, it's about embracing it, and I embrace it, but I have to find my voice within it. What can I contribute to it? What can I contribute being among all these beautiful artists? And so over time, I discovered that I like to give people a platform for expression. And I like to give people that don't have an opportunity to experience something new, an opportunity to experience something new. Which brings me to the little school across the street from me. I'm gonna try to hold it together because in this rehearsal I lost it. So I'm gonna keep it together now. So it brings me to this little school across the street from me named Briscoe Elementary School. And now 5 years ago, Briscoe didn't have an art teacher or any art in their curriculum at all. And there was one teacher, I see the little kids every day go to school, and I look at them from our frame shop window and wonder how we could contribute to their lives. And then one day there was a teacher named Sarah who wrote a grant. And Sarah wrote a grant to get a sketchbook into every single hand in that school so they could start creating in some way. And then Sarah reached out to us to see if we would be willing to be an art partner in the school. And we said yes. And that first year, we taught maybe 40 kids or so. And now we teach all 400 students. And it's all because a student wrote a grant. And what Sarah doesn't know about that, writing that grant also led me to expressing my voice, because these kids are my art form, and it's how I get to contribute to my community. These kids walk across the street, and they come into our home. They experience our artists. They meet people from all over the world, people from Berlin, people from Mexico City, people from Spain. They work with artists that are collected by the Smithsonian. We teach them art terminology. They work with our neuroscientists. They learn about their brains and empowering them through learning about their brains. We teach them complex subjects because they can understand them and they want to learn them. And I have to tell you a story real quick about a student that came in. He's 14 now, and he went through our program for 4 years. And he came into an after-school exhibition, and he was telling me, "Miss, I'm doing great in school, and I love it." And then he stopped and he looked around at the exhibition, and he said, "You know, I remember when we learned the abstract art, and I remember when we learned about Louise Nevelson. I've never forgotten." And I looked at Victor, and I thought, you know, people never forget what you teach them. And they never forgive what you give them. And this is my art form, and I can only hope that my art is a little ripple in the pond. And I wouldn't be able to do it if I wasn't surrounded by the artists in my life. They're the bravest people I've ever been around. I've worked with triple-degreed Harvard graduates, and I'm telling you, artists are the heroes. They have to wear 14 hats. They're their own CEOs, their own attorneys, their own marketing department, their own communication directors. And they do all of this while creating and presenting themselves on view for you to see. I don't know how many of us could do that every day. And I wouldn't be up here today if it weren't for their inspiration. And as I was writing this, I reflected on what luck means to me. And for me, luck has been intent. It's been chance and deliberate. Luck for me is who you surround yourself with in your life. And I'm so grateful that I'm surrounded, that I walked into that frame shop, because I wouldn't be here today if I didn't, and surrounded by the brave risk takers in my life. And that's it.